I'll let you go just random, willy-nilly, like y'all like to do. Even though the God put it in order it's supposed to be in. Tell me things that they had to face. Tell me challenges that they had to confront. Tell me problems that were dumped on them. I mean, they're teaching everybody about Jesus. They're filling the world with the gospel. They're going to preach the gospel to every living creature. They're doing this wonderful thing, building the church that Jesus established. They're doing all these wonderful things. And people are abusing them. And brothers are complaining about them. But I want you to show me the problems. I'm sorry? They went to jail. We didn't put that anywhere over here. But they put them in jail. What else? Oh, they had threats. What else?
Questioned.
They were questioned. Ooh, and I am telling you, it's not a big deal. It is not a big deal. But it is we make it a big deal. When somebody starts asking us questions, when somebody starts putting our faith, challenging our faith, all of a sudden we get really reactive. We get really defensive. And it can stop us from doing what we're supposed to do because somebody just questioned, what are you doing that for? Why are you doing that? Why do you think that? Do you people believe y'all are the only... And those kinds of questions come to us, what do? We start vapor locking, we back up, we get scared, we get worried about what our answers would be. And I don't want my answer to keep anybody away from the Lord, and that's for sure. But those kind of things can cause us to stop doing what Jesus wants us to do. All right, what else?
Lying.
They were lying about them. What else?
Greedy.
Ooh, we had the greedy and the hypocrites lying to God. What else?
They
just suffered disgrace. Put that in our word, for them to suffer disgrace. What does that mean? How'd they feel? Ashamed. Have you ever been embarrassed? Have you ever been embarrassed about your faith? Have you ever been made to feel embarrassed because you believe something that nobody else believed? Have you ever been embarrassed because maybe where you go to church? Or maybe who your preacher is? I mean, there's all kinds of things that can cause you disgrace this way. Give me another one. There's at least one more, and it's going to be in chapter 6, and it's early on in 6. You've already got it on the board, but I want you to see it before we go on. People were being baptized every day. It says the church was multiplying. And what are these folks in church doing? Whining, complaining. It only is an illustration. I won't tell you where, would not tell you who, but it only is a purpose of an illustration. I was working with a church that was going through a period of growth that was like remarkable. They were teaching and baptizing many teenagers, and children were coming to Bible. Well, in that particular auditorium, there were two. Those of you who grew up going to church, when I said church auditorium, you knew you could see it in your head, couldn't you? This was one of those three sets of chairs auditoriums. It's like Canadians. There's a row in the middle. And it caused them trouble, folks. This particular church, they had trouble because they put the row of pews in the middle. You know why? Because it messed up weddings. And I can remember, major fusses going on. Well, it just messes up a wedding. How many weddings are we going to have in this church? Well, we'll go have that argument some other time. Point is, there was a set of pews there, middle set of pews that's wider, and a set of pews over here. One of those whole sets of pews was filled with children. No lie. They had, I bet there were 100 to 105 kids sitting in the assembly. Because they had never, folks, that was back before they had things like children's church. Bible hour had not even been invented. And that's why it was invented. Exactly. And we invented it in that church because, I mean, when you've got 100 kids who have never gone to church anywhere sitting in church, guess what that's like, y'all? I mean, it's like, well, it's like here on a Wednesday night. All right? Now, they just needed to see. Here's the point. There were, instead of people looking at it and said, look at the opportunities. And guys, I'm telling you, we were teaching and baptizing people. There was not one family that we weren't having a chance to teach. Now, not all of them were baptized, but every kid that was coming, I was following up with those kids' families and saying, would you like to know what we teach your kids? And guess what everybody was telling me? Yeah, I'd like to know. Yes, I'd like to know. I was having Bible studies I couldn't keep up with them. I was just having Bible study after Bible study after Bible study. And you know what people were complaining about? It was too noisy. Those kids put their hands on the paint and it's dirty. And our bathrooms are getting way too dirty. Well, guess what we did? Guess what they effectively did? Stop that work. Because, now they quoted scripture, we're supposed to do things decently and in order. So let's don't teach anybody that's disruptive. Let's don't teach anybody that's going to get up and go get a cup of coffee while the preacher's teaching. Right? No, you see what I'm saying? Here's these kind of problems. So what do you do? Now here's the lesson. What do you do? What did they do when they were questioned? Chapter 4, you tell me, what did they do? And I should give you a little bit of help. First thing I noted was that they were questioned, you know. They've thrown in jail. They brought them in there and questioned them. What did they do? Chapter 4, verse 8 following. Because you're going to have plenty of time to do your homework on this. I just want you to see what they did. And that's how we ought to prepare ourselves to do when we face these same kind of problems. What'd they do? They answered the question. And look what they answered. You ask us, how'd this happen? Let me tell you. It's in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, and that this man stands before you healed. Salvation, verse 12, mark it. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. So what did they do? What did they do? What was their response? When somebody questioned them, what did they do? They taught about Jesus. Now, what did he teach about Jesus? Now, I'm going to make this point. I'm going to make it, whether we like to hear it or not. I'm going to make this point. What did they do? What lesson did Peter preach? He preached the same lesson that he preached in Acts chapter 2. It's the same lesson that he preached in Acts chapter 3. It's the same lesson he's going to preach in Acts chapter 10 when he talks to Cornelius. I grew up in a church where people made note of if the preacher used the same verse two Sundays in a row. Well, we talked about that verse last Sunday. Really? I remember people getting bent all out of shape because they thought the preacher preached the same sermon. I can even remember guys being called in and having had a discussion with leadership because I used the same illustration in a sermon within a month's time. We've heard that illustration before.
I don't remember any of the lessons that I was taught because we never repeated them. I don't remember anything.
What did Peter do? Same material. The three R's. Yeah. What do we do, folks, when people question us? We talk about Jesus. Now, I'm going to take this one more step and make it applicable to us. A lot of the questions we get are philosophical type questions. And we get bent all out of shape. We get all tied up in knots. I don't know what I'm supposed to do with that. Just go back to talking about Jesus. I promise it'll work. I promise it'll work. And whether it works or not, it's what they did, so it's okay for us to do it, right? People have asked me questions about, well, are y'all the church, the only church, and this is back in the day, are y'all the only church that believes you're going to heaven? I know people that get all worried about that. Well, what do you say? What do you say? And I always say, you know, I would really like to sit down with my Bible and let's talk about that. And guess what? Who we'd talk about? We'd talk about Jesus. Guy asked me, he said, I don't know about, I believe that Bible about all them cave. I don't know, where's all the cavemen and all the dinosaurs? And he wanted to talk about all that. We sat down and guess what we talked about? Jesus. I'm serious. I don't care about cavemen, don't care about dinosaurs. Sorry, kids. Don't care about dinosaurs, but I love Jesus, and I'm going to talk about Jesus. When somebody questions you, say, ooh, that's a good question. Why don't we sit down and talk about it? And then once you've got them sitting down and talking about it, guess what you can do? You can talk about Jesus. He said, you know, And how you shift it, I don't care. How you shift it and how you get there, it doesn't matter. I can give you some creative ways to get there. I looked at the caveman. I said, man, that living in a cave was bad news, wasn't it? He said, oh, yeah, it was. I said, how would you like to hear some good news? He said, yeah, I'd like that. We went to Jesus. We baptized him. I don't think we ever got to the caveman deal. Do you care? I don't care. People are going to ask you about marriage, divorce, and remarriage. People are going to ask you about instruments. People are going to ask you about women. People are going to ask you about raising your hand, standing on your head. I don't care about all that stuff. Because when it gets down to it, the question that needs to be answered is, what must I do to be saved? That's right. Let's make sure we answer that question. And everything else, I do it all the time. I send them somewhere else. I say, you know, that's a good question. They start asking Hebrew and Greek and all that stuff. I said, there's a whole school, Lubbock Christian University, got a bunch of people that know all that stuff. Go ask them. Let's talk about Jesus. So number one, what do you do? When you get questioned, when you get challenged, what do? You teach. I should have made that a different color. So you teach Jesus. You answer that question with Jesus. All right, now keep going. The next thing you're going to see is that they were threatened. He's going to threaten them. Look in 21, they were threatened. And what'd they do on their release? Verse 23. What'd they do? They prayed, and in that prayer, they praised God, and they asked for... Find it. Do your homework. They ask for boldness. They praise God and they ask for boldness. So here's what you do. When somebody asks you a question, answer the question with Jesus. When somebody threatens you, what do? You pray. Now hang on, folks. Why do you pray for boldness? They're not going to stop. And if... Go ahead. Good point. They're not going to stop threatening, and you're not going to stop teaching. So just pray for boldness. Now, implied in the fact that they asked for boldness is what? That they were afraid, that they were scared. Being bold doesn't mean that you're not scared anymore. Being bold is that you do what you know you're supposed to do, even when you're scared. All right, now keep reading. You're going to see in verse 32, what do? That whole paragraph, what do? When people out on the outside are being mean to you, when people on the inside are lying about you, what do? What do when you face these challenges but you're trying to build a church that's going to spread across the world? You're going to try to preach a gospel that's supposed to fill the world. What are you going to do when you're trying to rescue lost people? What do? You talk about Jesus, you can't ever go wrong with that answer. But look in chapter 4, 32 through the end. What'd they do? You stick together, y'all. You take care of each other. You take care of each other. You make sure that we don't let them, even it's the them that is in here with us, we don't let them tear us apart. We stick together and share with each other. Does it happen in this place? It's one of the wonderful things I see in here. It happens in other places as well. We're small enough and our experience here has been unique enough. I love to see it. I've seen people in this room not have a car. And I've seen somebody in this place hand them the keys and the title to a car. I love that. I've seen people in here that says, man, I can't find a place to live. And I've seen somebody here say, hey, I've got an apartment or I've got a little house here. You live in that house. I've seen folks here do that kind of stuff. I need some help with my utilities, and somebody that had money to help with those, took care of those utilities. I've seen that. That's what's supposed to take place. Usually, though, when you're being, somebody's shooting at you, when somebody's hollering at you, when somebody's being mean to you, when you're getting upset, how do you treat each other? What happens, honest fellas, at work when things are tough? Ladies, same thing is true. When things are tough at work and you come home, and the person that you love the most meets you at the door, and she says something like, hi, honey, what would you like for supper?
Supper? What do you mean supper? Why do I have to make all decisions? What's wrong with you? Cook something, woman. It's not already ready.
Oh, man. Who can you be the meanest to? The person that you love the most. Stop it, stop it, stop it, stop it. And that also applies to us right here. Have we got, folks, honest, have we got enough trouble? Enough trouble? Let's don't give each other any trouble. Let's take care of each other. If I'm having a bad day, and I believe that this is right, if I'm having a bad day and I don't do something that you think I should do, please recognize the fact that I was probably having a bad day and that's why I didn't do that. Used to just frustrate the hound out of me when I'd come into church back when I was the preacher, and I'd walk into church and I'd have something on my mind, or somebody had barked at me in the parking lot about something, or I was worried about something from my family and I was walking in, I wouldn't pay attention. I'd walk by somebody and not say hi. If the preacher doesn't say hi to you, guess what? That means you're probably going to burn in hell, and that's a bad deal. And it was amazing how many people, serious, they wouldn't come to me and say, Rex, you okay? Man, you walked right by me and didn't say anything. Of course, they didn't say anything either, but that's an aside point. They didn't ask. You know what they did? They went and told somebody else who eventually had the spiritual maturity, and I'm using that sarcastically, to go to the elders and say, our preacher doesn't talk to people when he comes in. So what do you do? Guys, what do we forget about them for a second. What do we do? What do we do? We care about each other. We share with each other. You having a bad day? I ask you a question and you bite my head off? I don't go, well, okay then, if that's the way he's going to be. No. What I figure is, he bit my head off. That means there must be something going wrong with him. So I go tell Kelly. Kelly, would you go ask him? No. No. I go to that brother and say, you doing okay? Everything all right? I mean, if it's me, tell me, you know, I'll fix it. I'll do what I can to fix it. But let's care about each other. That's what they did. Keep reading. In chapter 5, they had these old hypocrites. So what'd they do? What'd they do? Oh, no, there's no hypocrites in our church. There's no hypocrites in our church. Did I tell you? I know I've told you, but we got some fresh faces, so I can say it again. I had an elder call me one time, and he was talking about divorced people, and I was trying to explain to him why it was important for the church to show themselves kind and compassionate, accepting, not approving of divorce at all, But just accepting of those people, because they've gone through a nightmare. It's horror to go through that mess. And he said, I said something about working with them and that kind of stuff, working with them, working with those kind of people. And here's what he said. He said, well, we don't have any problem with that here because there are no divorced people in our church. Okay, now I want you to take that thought and break it down, analyze it just for a second. There are no divorced people in our church. That means they either didn't have any divorced people, which is, you got to wonder, or when they divorced, did they feel so isolated they just left? Or he didn't know about them? Or there's one more big one. He was what, lying?
Well, if you've been divorced, please, not
going to teach you. And there. How many people in that town are divorced? How many people in that town that are divorced have been taught about Jesus? Because you teach somebody that's been divorced about Jesus, what might happen? They might be saved and you might have to deal with their mess. I'm glad nobody ever has to deal with our mess. But I mean, that might happen sometime. You see the point? What you've got to do is recognize there are some going to be people that have some trouble. So what do you do with it? What word do you want to use here? Here are some people that were lying to God. They were lying to the Holy Spirit. They were trying to make a show of something that was meant to be a gift from God. And something had to be done. That hypocrisy had to be exposed. So what do you do? What did Peter do? He called him out on it. I'm gonna put a word up here that I want to make sure we're careful of, but I don't ever want us to lose it. And it's the idea of confront. Sometimes you've got to get in the front of somebody. And I heard a guy say one time, confront is not the right word. And I agree. Con means against. So when typically when you confront somebody, you're against what they're doing. This old boy said, we're not against each other. We want to help each other. So what we ought to do is front each other. Okay, let's just use that one. We need to front each other. You see me struggling with something, do not give up on me. Front me. And be real honest, I don't care if you confront me. If you rescue me, I'll be grateful. Right? Let's don't put our heads in the sand. Let's don't overlook our weaknesses. Let's front each other. That's what this church did. They answered the questions with Jesus. They prayed for boldness. They shared with each other. They confronted. They fronted each other. They confronted this problem. Keep reading in chapter 5. When they were beaten and jailed and whipped, what did they do? Look in verse 29. Verse 29. What'd they do? What'd they tell them? They simplified their lives, folks, and I want us to do the same thing. What did he say? We must, 529, we must, one more time, we must. Now, folks, you see what I mean by simplify? That makes it real simple. Do I have to understand their position? Do I have to understand the root of the problem? This is real easy, y'all. No is the answer. Do I have to know the root of the problem? Do I have to understand their position? No. What do I have to do? What is the one have to you got to? Obey God. Now, you know what happens to us when we start having trouble? What happens to us? Honest, what happens to us? When we start having trouble, we blame God. And if we think God is against us, automatically that gives us the right to do what? Well, I'm not going to obey Him if He's not going to give me what I want. I hear it in this room. I love you, but I hear it in this room. Well, I tried and I asked God and I asked God and I asked God and He didn't give me any help. So guess what they decided to do? If He's not going to help me, then why should I help Him? Whoa. How backwards is that? That's jailhouse kind of thinking. Those kids in jail do it all the time. Somebody didn't do what I wanted, so guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to make my life worse.
My experience, this has been true probably 99% of the time. God is rarely early, but He is never late.
That's a good way to say it. Guys, what do? When you completely disagree with what you think God did or didn't do, what do?
Obey God.
There's one must in that verse, and that's obey God rather than men. And I'd love to go through the list of men that are included in that. But I'll be honest, the man I have the most trouble with, I need to obey God rather than man. All right. Go to chapter 5, go to the very end. What do? They finally let them out of there. They decided they were going to obey God, so what'd they do? 542, what'd they do? They never stopped teaching. Where did they teach? Publicly and house to house. They did it at church. They did it in their homes. They had gospel meetings and they had home Bible studies. I don't care how you label it. What should be taking place if we're focusing our attention to finish this thing, if we're going to do what those disciples were told by Jesus to do, if we're going to do that, what do we need to be doing every day, every place we have the opportunity to do it? I'll let you answer. Talk about Jesus. Teach the good news. Let's illustrate it. Anybody mention Jesus this week at work? What'd you tell them? Excellent. Good. Phillip's talking about Jesus at work. Anybody here mention Jesus in their home? Anybody mention Jesus in their home? This one's a really easy one.
You know, it's been really interesting this week because we're new to the neighborhood and we've had so many people come and knock on our door to welcome us to the neighborhood. I've been flabbergasted. And I've tried each time to tell them, I thank God brought us to this neighborhood because you guys are such a blessing. I'm so astounded by it.
You know?
Excellent. And it just brings up the conversation.
Hey, there you go. How many of you have mentioned Jesus in a public meeting this week? You're here. We're talking about Jesus right now. So whether it's in a private situation, personal, private, whether it's in a public, everybody's listening kind of situation, let's just make sure we keep talking about Jesus. Now, number seven, I think, in this list, last one. I put down here work. Serve is probably the better word. But the thing I want to make note of is, listen to what he said. It's not right that we give up the ministry of the Word to serve tables. Do tables need to be served? Do tables need to be served? Do widows need to be cared for? Do orphans need to be loved? Do grieving people need to be comforted? Do sick people need to be visited? Yes. Do lonely people need to be loved and helped? Yes, 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 yes. But should we do that to the giving up or the forsaking of or being distracted from the ministry of teaching the Word?
We should do all of it the way they did here.
No. And what they did was they got the whole body together to go to work. They got the whole body to go to work. All right? It might mean that you're visiting a widow while Kelly's teaching a Bible study. It might be that Aaron's helping somebody move. While John's helping a kid at school. It might mean, you see what it means. It's all of us do our work. Let's do what we can. If it's caring about somebody, sharing with somebody in kindness and love, that's a good thing. That opens lots of doors. But we don't stop teaching about Jesus. Is that possible to do? Can that happen? I'll tell you, it happens in churches all the time. I won't tell you where, won't tell you when, but it was part of a church where there was a lot of complaining about from the widow ladies about they didn't get visited every week. I asked the elders, I said, I'm glad that you're concerned about them, but why do you think you're so concerned about them? And one elder was real honest. He said, well, because she calls me every day if you don't come by to see her. Oh, okay. And I was blunt in those days, and I said, not like I am now. But I was blunt, and I said, and I called off some people that I'd been having Bible studies with, lost people. I said, did so-and-so call you? Uh-uh. Did so-and-so call you? Uh-uh. Did so-and-so call you? Uh-uh. I said, when is the last time that somebody that was lost ever called the preacher to complain that nobody had come by to see them? When's the last time a lost person ever called the elders and said, you know, your preacher hadn't come by here to see me? When's the last time a lost person ever called and said, I want to go to heaven and nobody's helping me? They don't. They don't do that. Lost people don't do that. That's why I think we're supposed to seek and save them. Does God want us to care for widows, orphans, hungry folks, lonely folks, grieving folks, sick folks, limping folks? Yep, He wants all of that. What is the first priority? What's more important? What's more important than helping somebody have a full belly? A saved soul. Do we want their belly to have food? Yes. Do we want their body to have clothes? But we learned it last week. What's more important than the silver or gold that would help me buy lunch? Having that ability to walk so I could get a job and buy my own lunch. What's more important, eating for today or living with Jesus forever? Now, it's not an either-or thing, but it is a priority thing. Let's go to work and let's do what we can. Now, what happened? You tell me. You've read that. You'll have your chance to do some more homework. What happened in that church? There's trouble in that church. It was not the perfect church that some of us grew up believing it was. There were some hypocrites in that church. There were some whiners in that church. And there were some bullies that pushing them around. So what'd they do? They answered the question. They prayed for boldness. They shared with each other. They confronted the problems. They obeyed the Lord. They taught the gospel every day. And they did what they were called by God to do so that body would be what God wanted it to be. So, what was the result? The Word of God spread. And if you look in chapter 6, I believe it's verse 6. And yeah. What does it say?
The word of God spread.
The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly. The word of God was spread. The number of disciples increased rapidly. And many, verse 7, many priests became obedient to the word. We started reading this because we wanted to be the church Jesus wants us to be. Not just in our doctrine, but in our practice. Not just in our theology, but in our life. Let's be this kind of church. Let's be a church that answers the questions with Jesus. That we pray for boldness so we don't ever stop speaking, so we'll always have an open door, an open mouth, and an open heart. Let's keep sharing with each other. Let's take good care of each other because nobody else out there is going to do it. Let's make sure we confront problems. Don't let them get bigger than they are. Let's confront them. Let's front each other and get those things fixed. Let's obey God even when it's scary. Let's teach every day. Whether we're at work or home, let's just keep talking about Jesus. And then let's go to work. Let's do the work that God gave you to do. Sometimes it'll be teaching. Sometimes it'll be serving tables. Just keep working and let God give the increase. All right.